You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show.
Hey there, AfterBuzz fans. We are here to talk about Sword Art Online today. We're covering episodes 12 and 13, Yui's Heart and the Edge of Hell's Abyss. I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and joining me here on the panel today is Katie Cullen.
Salutations.
And Liz Rishmawi.
Hey, guys.
Tari Miller.
Yukazu.
Still my favorite part. And we have two very, very special guests with us today. Joining us on the panel is Stephanie Shea.
Hajimemashite.
Yes.
You might recognize her as the voice of Yui in this episode, and we are also joined by Amanda C. Miller, the voice of Yuli Air.
I don't really have anything as clever to say as everybody else did.
That's okay.
Ikuzo! You know,
I never have anything clever to say.
Like wasabi? I don't know.
Hi usually works, too. When okay. I don't know, I usually just go, hi, guys, and then that's it. So thank you guys so much for joining us on the panel today. We're really excited. These are some really good episodes. Yeah. Some really emotionally driven episodes.
Did you cry? Almost.
No, almost. But I will say that after Yui's Heart, I did want to throw, because we watch it on Netflix, I did want to throw the Wiimote at the TV because I was so angry at how sad I was.
Sad.
She went and got a drink between episodes.
Sad.
Nope. I cannot handle
this. I mean, when she's first introduced, you're like, this is weird. It's a child calling them mommy. And then by the end, you're like totally won over. You're like,
what? That's what happens when you interface in an MMO.
I laugh.
The woods bring you children.
I laugh at it because when I think about it, I'm like, in order for her to be your actual daughter, you had to have had this baby when you were like 5.
Gonna check the numbers on that.
Maybe. That's how it is like on any CW show though. Like the parents are like way young.
That's true. They hire young on those shows.
Yeah.
Like on Arrow, I'm like, there's no way she's got like what a 30-year-old kid.
Right.
But those
you
are
know,
fun.
I'd buy it though.
I mean, they're also pretty to look at. I don't really argue with it.
John Barrowman. I will never argue with John Barrowman.
I know. I was like, he could be Tommy's brother. Anyway.
Different show. We actually do an Arrow after show. So good stuff. It's a lot of fun. I guess we can go ahead and get into it. Tari, Liz, how did you guys feel after this episode?
Do my emotions not count?
No. You already said you got a drink.
That's an emotion, drinking.
I just thought it was like, well, first of all, you know, even from the start, I had a feeling Yui was something with the computer.
Unique, yeah.
Well, no, but yeah, because in the opening theme song, she's all like, look at the numbers around me. And it's like, floating ghost child. And it's like, you're not human. I knew something was up with you. But Noah is really sad because, I mean, you grew to like, in the short time she was there, you really grew attached to her. She's adorable. I mean, you know, it's just, you get this connection. You want to like, you wanted to find her parents if she has any. And then, you know, she's a bunch of numbers and programs.
Did you know she was what she was? I actually did, mostly because her name was Yui, like UI.
User look at
interface.
You being
Look at you.
Amanda's like, got impressive look on her face. She's all like,
I'm like, I don't know whether to be like impressed or to call you a nerd.
I'm both.
He's also seen the series before and read the light novels.
Yeah. Okay,
so
well.
He knows everything, and I'm completely unspoiled, so it's fun conversation.
Yeah,
sometimes.
She doesn't know how the series ends, so mum's the word on that. No spoilers in the comments section, people on YouTube.
You've been pretty good so far, except for the wow, you're really gonna hate what happens next. Like, thank you for letting me form an opinion.
But so you knew going into it. So
yeah.
You knew exactly how this was going to end then.
Mostly. But, like, just I'm not gonna lie, I did cry a little bit. Like, just mostly during
Good for you. That makes, I like men who don't, who can admit that they cry.
Express your emotions.
Yeah. I mean, the whole backstory part was, like, such a bummer. It was like, hey, your job is to comfort people, but you're gonna watch people die for 2 years.
Yay! Wait.
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense from the last episode, too. Like, the darkness! It's all dark and I'm alone! And spaz out clicker.
Sounds like my internship. Yeah. Many moons ago.
I think that's everyone's internship.
Yeah, I just had a flashback to mine. I was like, no, not again.
PTSD, that's not good. I'm sorry. I'll change the subject.
It's okay.
But that's what you were supposed to prevent.
That's true. But we can go ahead and talk about your character a little bit, too. Yulier, you're only in this one episode, and I really wish we had more
of both
these characters.
Yeah.
Because your character looks like just such a badass.
I know, right?
Yeah, because she's like the second in command of the Einkrad Liberation Army, so you don't get to be second in command by just being anybody.
Right. And also, I love that she comes in, and she's just so strong, and she's like, look, I need your help. That's the strongest kind of woman. Somebody who's like, I don't really need your help, but I guess I'll ask for your help. Yeah. Now, actually, I guess at some point she does say she needs their help.
Yeah, but she does, but she's like, I'm going to do it regardless.
Right,
so.
I'm going to go in there to get my man, but
I'd like you to come with me to prevent the dying part.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm going either way. So it was really cool, and I really do wish we had both more of Yui and Yulier, because they're so interesting, and that's something I really like about the series, is that the secondary characters in some ways are kind of more interesting than Kirito. In a lot of ways, actually.
Hence our reaction every time Klein shows up.
Yeah.
Like, I am instantly more interested in you.
Klein and Agiel, I get excited anytime they come in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about them at the end of the hour.
What's the hate for Kirito about?
We don't hate him.
Is he just too
perfect?
We
just find other people... No,
he's
God,
very
no.
Far from it.
We just find other people more interesting.
You just think he's
Kirito's
boring.
Kirito's a shonen protagonist.
Here's the thing.
Klein is funny.
Did you know that Excel World was made by the same guy? Basically that was his answer to being like, I made Kirito too perfect. So he made this like short little
pudgy
like
guy.
Short little fat protagonist to be that like balance.
That's so
I thought that was interesting. It's like basically the same show, just
the anti Kirito.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I had no idea. That's really cool. All right, let's go ahead and... I guess we can go ahead and jump into breaking down the episode then. So we start out basically just where we left off after last episode, and we start off in the daycare area with Sasha and all the kids. And it really does kind of make you... When you see all these children who are stuck in this game, it really kind of shifts your perspective, because we've been focusing on people who can kind of take care of themselves. And then you kind of forget that, oh, yeah...
I guess kids logged in.
Well, I guess that's what I was wondering about. I'm like, why were their parents letting them play a game? Like, they were that young, and
well,
they're letting them play
it's
online.
So that they won't. It's so that, you know, they can go do the laundry. And,
right.
You know,
or it's possible
distract
that they came
yourself.
In as a family. Because it was mom and dad and son Joe and daughter Mary. Coming
really,
in
Joe and Mary?
I don't know.
Well, my usuals are Joe, Bob, and Fred, but if you have a daughter, that's going to be awkward.
So. Joe for, like, Joanne.
Josephina?
Josephina,
I like that.
Okay.
But
point being, there probably were some parents who came in with their kids. There probably were parents who bought
older
the thing.
Siblings.
Or older siblings, yeah. And then gave
who
it
like,
to their
oh,
kids
let's,
or younger siblings.
This is a fun family outing.
Like laser tag.
Yeah.
That's what I always, like, my favorite ones to take out are, like, the dads when they're tying their kids' shoelaces. Because it's so much easier than
easy
the little 8-year-olds who are good at hitting me.
I want to play laser tag with you. You sound like fun.
I take people out.
Yes.
I'm a good sniper.
Oh man, I'm not good, so like I feel like I'd get creamed
I'm
in
on
a particular
team.
Game.
The thing is, you got to band with the 8-year-olds because they know what they're doing. They are ruthless, and then you're tall.
And
so
they're tiny, so they can fit into small hiding
right.
places.
They're more
and
agile.
They have to aim down to get the chest.
Yeah,
plate.
And when they mm-hmm. come around a corner, yeah,
take
it's,
you out at
it's a much narrower target.
So Sword Art Online.
No joke.
Sword Art Online. So it is really kind of tragic that all these kids are in here, and that some of them are probably orphans now because 4,000 people have died in this game so far.
Can I just make a quick point that I was trying to make before? How funny, sure. though, if like a kid came into the game, but like in the 2 years they've been in this game, like one of them hits puberty.
Worse.
Like I imagine they still look the same because they had to format it due to the thing because none of their actual physical appearances changed, but like all of a sudden one day they wake up and they're like, hi!
I found the last boss.
Yeah, that happened
Mommy?
In Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Right.
That he spent puberty in a pod. And
there,
yeah.
there you go. But anyway.
That's the best way to spend it, really. You don't want to go through that.
That's true. It's just kind of like, can we just
Not
fast forward
and
all that?
Not the way Sora did it. Anyway.
Do they have potions for acne?
Yeah, that's a good question. Ugh, puberty sucks.
I'm going to go with yes.
Anyway, to get back, we have this kind of discussion where Sasha's kind of explaining, you know, the situation in the daycare center when all of a sudden Yulier comes in, the second in command for the Einkrad Liberation Army, and she's like, Kirito, Asuna, I've been looking for you. I need your help. And that's when we get the scene of them kind of explaining the politics of the Einkrad Liberation Army and the fact that it's kind of become a very kind of, you know, people are vying for power mm-hmm. in a strange way. It's become very corrupt. And we hear a very familiar name, Kibao, has actually become a huge player in this political mess in terms of trying to go for power. And that
he's
confused
still
me.
Alive?
I was like, Katie's not happy.
Well, because
he's Katie,
still
right?
Alive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's like Brenda's not happy. Somebody's going to be Brenda whenever I don't remember your name.
We are all Brenda in our hearts.
But yeah,
he's still a lot. He showed up in episode 2, got pissed off at everyone, ruined things for Kirito, and then we never hear from him again. I had assumed
we didn't even hear from him in this episode. We just hear mention of him. He never appears. So,
but the fact that he is alive, rising in power, smart enough to set a trap for someone who's the head of a guild, and continuing to be a complete jerk and having learned nothing, it's like, why are you not dead?
I think it just confused me that he had any sort of like kind of plotting aspects to him at all, because he didn't strike me as a very smart character to begin with.
It was all part of the plan.
Oh, that's it. You know, that's how they get you.
He was the equivalent of a YouTube commenter. not our lovely AfterBuzz commenters, but the people you see on the videos where they have no semblance of spelling or grammar and you just kind of want to go, oh God, why?
Like, this video is so stupid with like two O's.
Two O's.
Yeah.
And a one instead of an I.
Yeah.
O's. That type of YouTube commenter. Our AfterBuzz commenters are lovely, well-spoken people.
Yes, you guys
who
are
have
awesome.
Not spoiled me yet, thank you.
And they're very, very sexy.
Yes, all
I wouldn't
of those
know
things.
That.
But I like the fact that when she's telling the story, they're kind of trying to debate like whether or not they should believe her. Yes. And then, you know, Yui, sweet little thing that she is.
It's like she's telling the truth.
Yeah, like,
even though
she
has no way of being able to tell. But it is kind of very interesting because we've learned that not everyone is to be trusted in this game. And so to have somebody come in, you know, after we see a group of these guys, you know, shaking down children, to have somebody come in with kind of this sob story, it is kind of suspicious.
She does sob. Yeah. It's definitely a sob story.
Yeah. It was sad, though. Like, we went back and we watched it again, and knowing that she was being sincere, it was actually very moving. You did a very good job. You gave a good performance.
Yes.
But so they go ahead and decide to go and investigate with her because there happens to be a dungeon down beneath the Town of Beginnings with all these really high level monsters, and it sounds like Thinker, I believe his name he's become trapped down there, and Yulier wants to go and get him out because he's still alive. She can still see him on the map, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to communicate with her. He's trapped,
well,
and
he's
just been there
stuff.
For days.
He actually believed Kibao when he was like, I just want to talk, man. Meet me in this really dark dungeon. Miles underground.
Past all of these monsters.
Yeah, don't worry about it, though. It's cool. I have to ask, though, for you guys, granted, Yui is like a little girl, so I guess when you're like, what am I going to make this character sound like? But like, when you guys are like kind of getting into your characters and the mode of like what you should do, do you watch like the original Japanese version to try to base off that person who portrayed the character? Or like, what is that process like for these characters in particular?
Well, we kind of have to watch a little bit of the Japanese when you're previewing.
Master.
Yeah, like, so basically, for anybody who isn't familiar with dubbing, basically they'll play you, they'll preview the lines you're about to say so you get the feel of it, and then it's all in Japanese, so you at least hear it, even if they're not directing you to mimic.
Did you, since your character was for, like, a guest star type of role, like, they don't always audition for, especially if they worked with the actress before and they know what she can do. So did you audition for that role?
I auditioned for this one.
And so then you created the character during the audition, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was still similar. I mean, she still kind of has like a deeper, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like, you know,
manly.
What's going on?
But like, it's still the same general air of authority and...
Like, generally, most of the voices that I do, I usually go off of the Japanese performance, you know, like, for things like pitch, tone, you know, and then character, you can tell the character. I'm not trying to mimic their sound, mm-hmm. but I will try to put it in the same ballpark in terms of age, pitch, tone. Like, is the texture breathy? Is the texture clear? Is the texture nasally? You know, things like that. All right. And then after that, the acting part is like going with the character and the moments and stuff like that. So.
I have a question for you, actually.
Yes.
So there's sometimes where like you listen to the Japanese clip and there are certain things that translate and certain things that don't. And I've noticed that's
I think that was Tari.
Tari hitting his microphone with his water cup and looking incredibly guilty.
Nothing to see over here, guys.
See what?
The shifty eyes make you totally convincing.
Of course.
But yeah, just I'm curious, like when there is a character where you're like, this is not going to translate because we don't speak certain ways, like we don't inflect things certain ways, or like.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like, there's certain, I'm going to sound so, like, racist when I do, but, like, you know, like, how they have certain animes, like, and, like, they say things up here, or they'll have the guys who are like, nyo-say!
Like, the sing-songiness of their
voice.
Yeah,
like, there's certain melodies.
That's what I mean by, like, that's what I mean is, like, I'm not trying to do a voice match copy of every type of thing, but, like... And I do think I have an upper hand because I'm Asian. I'm not Japanese, I'm Chinese. But there's certain similarities in Asian cultures.
Yes.
You know?
Wait, I don't know if you speak Mandarin?
I speak Mandarin.
Okay,
I speak Mandarin, I speak a little Taiwanese.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think, from what I know, I don't speak any other languages fluently, but from what I do know based on languages, Mandarin is the one that is also kind of like a very airy, prettier, kind of like Japanese, as opposed to like Cantonese, which is a little more...
If I were to speak like Mandarin gibberish, like fake not say any words, but do like it would be like sure. It's very like and it's a lot of like soft, you know.
Yeah.
And then Cantonese is more like, you know, like it.
It's basically when really
it's more
inappropriate white it's people try to imitate it's an like, Asian language. That's what it sounds like.
It's more like, you know,
harsher sound.
Staccato.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's
staccato.
That's
a good word for
it. It's what my neighbors are always yelling through the wall, and it gets into my audition recording.
Yay!
And the Taiwanese is also very loud. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of like. Like, you know, when you agree with someone, you can say, like, that's not but, like, that, it's that kind of, like, it's just different types of sounds.
Yeah, that's really cool, though.
Back to what you were saying, Amanda. So I guess I can tell when something is, like, you know, if they're doing, like a pouty thing, mm-hmm. you can, like, pout differently in, like, Western culture, and then, but you can translate it in a different way, because I guess, like, when we think of, like, being baby-y, like, initially, you'll probably think more of being, like, boo, 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 like, right? But, like, there's something, like, in Japanese, when it's pouty, it's more, like, you know, like, there's, like, you know what I mean? But which is also recognizable as pouty, but maybe not your go-to when you just hear the word pouty, you know? Right. So there's just, like, you know, like, you get a sense... And it's more about translating the emotion. It's not about translating
the
sound.
The exact sound.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's like, I mean, there's, and then
I mean, I can even tell, like, I guess if somebody's like, nanda yo! And then all of a sudden, like, it's like, but I don't wanna! You know, it's just like, it's like, you can't picture an English speaker saying, like, what? Like, I mean, you could, but then it makes more sense. You're like, but I don't wanna! Because it's like more of a whiny, makes more sense in translation.
And that's the thing is sometimes you get fans who are like, they didn't do it like the Japanese. I'm like, because it sounds weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we did, it would sound terrible.
Why don't you come in the studio and write it
yourself? Right. I'm just saying, there's certain things that just sound dumb when I do it.
Well, since you had to audition, did you have to audition for the part of Yui?
I did. If I remember correctly, they sent little clips of it. So I did hear it in Japanese beforehand. So sometimes studios will send clips, or you go in, it's a live audition, and they'll play you clips. And other times they don't. In which case, you can either just guess and go off of the character description, or you can get on the internet and try to find them on the characters, which depends on how much time you have and how long the show's already been out and what the online presence is.
I imagine that, especially for shows like this where they all come out before it gets dubbed. Did you guys watch? Were you fans of the simulcast when it was airing?
I don't watch anime anymore.
That's why I feel I'm like I've been changing the subject to like laser tag. Actually, this is the only episode I've seen of Sword Art.
You know,
I hear it's great.
I can't even like blame them though, because before we started doing the anime podcast here, I had been like, I told them, I was like, the last anime I watched was Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and okay. I was like,
and Tiger and Bunny.
I have nothing against anime or watching anime. Yeah. I love anime. I started out as a fan.
Me too.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's just, that's it.
Everyone here. I
feel
think.
Like
what
most,
is free time?
Most of the shows I get to watch, I watch for AfterBuzz.
Right. So part of your job.
Which
yeah,
is great.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I have to say, like, as a kid who grew up in the 90s, and that's when anime was my big thing, mm-hmm. before I discovered the subtitles were so much better at the time. Mm-hmm. But I love It's so immersed now. I can watch a dubbed and I love it just as much as the subtitles. Like just in the last 15.
Nice recovery.
Like that was the point. Start out with a negative. But I'm just saying. Like originally, like I didn't. You know, when you go back and watch what you loved when you were like 10, 11, you're like, and then you watch what they're having now come out. Like it's just become so much more of a thing now. Where the studios, it's the acting is so well done. The way they write the scripts to match the voice, and we know it's hard because you got to do the math. Flaps, you know, and you can only try to do so much, but they did such a good job with it.
Exactly.
And that's one of the great things is that anime is so much more prolific now. Like back in the day, we had Toonami and there was like a couple shows, and it's like mm-hmm. Gundam Wing, Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, and
Outlaw
like
Star.
Yeah, and like Tenchi and like a couple others. And now they finally, it's kind of become more mainstream, and there's so many more, and that's why I think it's harder to keep up with it. It's like, if there was like five, I could keep up, but.
Yeah, I felt prior to doing this, it'd been a while since I had watched anime, but my brothers would constantly call me and be like, have you started watching this show yet? And I'm like, no, I don't have time to watch TV anymore.
I especially love when someone suggests something. You're like, I guess I'll watch it. And then you show to people who never were into anime, and they're like, cartoons. This is not for children. like Attack on Titan or something. Like, no.
Oh, no.
Dumping people into Attack on Titan when they're not used to anime is one of the joys in life.
It's so good.
have you seen the, like, kids react videos?
Yes.
I've seen teens react.
Not for Attack on Titan.
But I think they knew better for that one.
Yeah.
But you have teenagers, and you can tell who's very into it, and you can tell who's not. Yeah, but even people who aren't were like, this looks good. This is intense. But anyway, we'll probably move on to the episode. We'll get through the rest of these quick, because I know we've got more questions for you guys for sure. And so we've got Kirito and Asuna, joined by Yuli Air and Yui, who decides to go.
I'm gonna come.
You probably shouldn't. You're a non-combatant.
But they all decide to go, and they meet some bosses along the way. They get through those pretty easily. And we get a cute little moment between Kirito and Asuna, where they actually bicker like a married couple should. And so it was kind
of
cute.
Why does she throw away all of those items? You could sell those if you don't want to cook them.
Because they're gross.
But you could sell them.
They're frog legs. My mom's French, so things don't gross me out.
Are they good? I've never tried frog legs.
All right.
I think I had them when I was younger. They're not, it's not.
Apparently, when you salt them, they twitch. Like,
what?
Before. Yeah,
well,
there's a video on YouTube.
If they're uncooked and still connected to things,
right,
yes.
Still, if
but
the frog is still alive,
them,
they will still twitch.
Yeah. It's kind of like half a frog.
It's kind of gross.
It's, I don't know, it's like a mix between, like, chicken and fish, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it.
Chicken
of
the sea.
Yeah. But tish. Anyway, so we go through there, and we actually get to see Yuli Air smile for a brief moment.
That was so cute. I love that moment.
Yuli's like, you smile. You're always so grumpy.
I've only known you for 10 minutes, but it's nice to see you smile. But it's very cute. And so then we get to another corridor, and we find that Thinker is actually in a safe zone at the very end of the corridor, and Yuli Air runs to go and meet with him, but
you're just
sure enough,
we all
there's
a
stop
chariots of fire
stop
at this
it.
Point.
Right.
don't do it. Don't
dun,
do
dun,
it.
Dun.
And sure enough, there's a boss hanging out in the shadows. I believe it was the Fatal Scythe. Yeah, which looks like the Grim Reaper and therefore looks like
it
death.
It comes out with this red and white mask on and it's, I want to play a game with you.
It did kind of look a little like Jigsaw, like. Yeah. It was a little creepy.
It reminded me a little bit of either Jigsaw or like one of the masks for the, oh God, it's been so long, but one of the characters from Bleach.
Yeah.
The hollow mask.
You're right.
Right?
It was creepy. Very much so like that.
I'm not sure which is creepier.
That was not my favorite moment for Yulier. They told her, like, probably you shouldn't go down there. And she's like, I'm a strong, smart woman, but right now I am not. And I'm just going to run, even though you told me not to. And bad things are going to happen and people are going to die.
And it is kind of annoying when you see competent characters like that have a horror movie moment where you're like, why would you do that? Yeah, don't go in there.
Girl, don't go up those stairs. You see blood dripping from the walls?
The door's right there.
That's how I feel like when I'm watching Walking Dead, like, all the time.
Just don't go in there.
Well, the flip side is, this is the person in charge of the guild. She's probably very close to him. She might even
be...
They're
in a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Am I allowed to
say stuff about later, or we can't talk about
it? No, go right ahead.
Because at the end, don't they get...
In the episode, yes. In the series,
no. Okay. But yeah, she definitely, like... Yeah, he's her... Because he's first command, yeah. She's second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's got a little crush on him and stuff.
And she's been worried about him, and she knows he's alive, but he hasn't been able to leave. And it's been for what? At least a week?
Three days.
A couple days. For a moment.
She was acting like it was a week.
For love.
Yeah, love makes
but
us being blind.
Being overwhelmed with that emotion and being so close, I can understand that. But, and him just standing there.
Right. But, and it took him like 6 calls to even warn her. He's so like, hey, oh, by
don't,
the way.
Don't yell. That's true, yeah. Wasn't he just yelling her name for a while? Like, come, like, Yulier, you think, oh, me? Like, oh, wait, no, I meant Yulier, go away.
Yeah, it would be, and he's so lazy, too, because he didn't even run out to try to save her either.
He was stuck behind something.
There's like a force field there. I don't even know, but like again, I was laughing. I wasn't blaming her the whole time because like she's like running the tears, the very pretty tears.
And then people cry very pretty in anime, yeah.
People do everything very pretty in Sword Art Online. They even die pretty.
Yeah. They really do.
But I was just saying that, you know, again, that was just frustrating because I don't even blame her that much because I don't think it was until she was halfway and he's like, oh,
by the way.
Don't! No! Abort! Go back!
I'm so happy to see you. You're going to die.
And Kirito was just like kind of, it was so cool though that moment because it was just like flash second and I didn't know if he pushed her or pulled her in, but then you see her right here and she's like, where am I? Like under his chest.
And, you know, it just missed. So luckily she and Yui managed to get over to the safe zone and Asuna tells them to use one of the teleportation crystals to, you know,
and
peace
push
out of
Yui
there.
Out, you know.
And to get Yui out because she's going to stay with Kirito, even though they have no idea how strong this boss is.
They can't see on the screen.
It's just unknown. Ugh, yeah, that's so unsettling. Creepy. And so they just, you know, she decides to stay with Kirito and they both get knocked aside, which tells you just how strong this boss probably is.
Yeah, they were already, one more knock, they would have been dead.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. And then Yui comes out to save the day, just as Yulier and Thinker disappear.
She's all like, no, I got this.
Which, you have a tendency of playing characters that are more than meets the eye. You have some, you know, somebody who seems very sweet. Yeah,
why
I know.
Are you laughing? What's so funny? Do you want to share with the class?
That is the catchphrase for Transformers. more than meets the eye.
She's Optimus Prime in the remake.
I am a Transformer.
It's not you. It's her and phrasing.
I apologize.
I really want her to be Optimus Prime.
Yeah, don't apologize. She's totally going to be Optimus Prime.
Please be Optimus Prime.
Maybe like an anime redub.
I'm sure Peter Cullen would be okay.
Yes. I would watch a show where Optimus Prime was a girl. I would watch that.
And a cute little girl too.
I'm like, Autobots, roll out.
That would be adorable.
Start the Twitter campaign.
Hashtag Chibi Optimus.
Listen, we're gonna move on quick because we gotta finish this.
Yeah,
episode.
We gotta wrap
all
up.
I'm saying is that if we can make Thor a woman, by damn it, we can make Optimus Prime a chick.
This whole woman Thor thing. Look. But Thor, it's not like Thor became a woman. Someone else picked up the hammer.
It's the title.
Exactly.
It just gets passed along.
Yeah. Yes. But people are acting like Thor had a sex change.
It's like, calm down, guys.
The internet. that is acting that way.
Just like, at one point, Thor was a frog.
Yeah.
No one complained about
that. As long as he's a dude frog.
Okay. At one point, Black Widow picked up the hammer and received the power to
Thor. Yeah, exactly.
It's like being, like, I don't know, like the manager at McDonald's. It's not a big deal. Yeah. You can have it back if you behave yourself.
Anyone can do it.
Get off probation.
Yeah. He's just got to prove himself again.
Exactly.
Welcome to Asgard. Would you like fries?
That's awesome. I would watch that too, as a matter of fact.
Yes! We should get writer credit just if you do
need
that.
Definitely. You guys will get a creator. You get an executive producer credit. How's that sound?
Excellent.
Sounds good.
As long as I make money.
But we I'm sorry, I don't have any of that. But we have Yui come out, and she pulls out this giant fire sword out of nowhere. First of all, the bot can't hit her,
because
she's
an immortal object.
And that's the same thing that comes up whenever Kirito gets angry and hits a wall with his fist. It comes up with immortal object.
So Yui,
she's a wall.
She's a wall. She's a part of the game, and she goes ahead and deletes the monster.
Yeah. With a giant flaming sword.
Which was really cool.
Her awesome little billowy white dress of awesomeness, where she kind of looked like the little girl from The Ring.
Basically. Less scary than Samara.
Yeah.
Little children are creepy. A lot of times in anime, it's the same thing. It's always the little one who's like, I know more than you.
Even Yui's introduction, she looks like a ghost. So
yeah.
It was very creepy. And so that's when we get, she remembers everything. She knows who she is.
She can pronounce names.
She knows that Kirito and Asuna, that they're not really her mommy and daddy. And she goes on to explain what she is. And she is actually the sort of mental health counselor program for Sword Art Online, which that's very interesting. I mean, it makes sense if Kayaba Akihiko was going to trap them in there if he had wanted everyone to stay alive to have that. But since he was planning
to kill themselves or kill other people.
He wants to play a game with them.
But so he wants them to survive and have emotional health.
Emotional problems.
That's what I would say if Yui had been allowed to function properly. Okay. But she wasn't. She was confined and unable to do her functions properly because the Cardinal Program
wouldn't let her interact.
Yeah.
The Cardinal Program being the program that runs the entire game.
Okay. And so she spent 2 years watching people absolutely lose their minds.
She basically kept tabs on everybody that was not doing well and watched them not
and was unable to contribute in any way, shape, or form.
I'm just picturing her behind, don't hug it out. Hug it out. Talk about your feelings. No, don't hit him. No.
This is classic projection.
For 2 years, that's all you have on TV. That's all you get.
And that's basically can you imagine how painful and sorrowful that is? I mean, you're not even a real thing, but you lost your...
And not only that, but it's your one job. Yeah. It is your one purpose in life, and you are unable to do it, and you have to sit and watch all this go down.
So she just watches all the dysfunction.
She's basically, constantly reminding her of what a failure she is.
Remember your internship.
I bet the laughing...
No, not again!
I bet the Laughing Coffin channel was pretty bad.
Oh, gosh. And that's...
Yeah, this is a game with a murder guild, and its helpful AI is not allowed to help.
Yeah. I really wish that was something in real life, though. I'm gonna have a
murder
bad day.
Guild?
Murder guild?
No,
the helpful AI. I'm just having a bad day. I can't eat. And this,
what's
up, buddy?
What's troubling you, friend? But
let me call you mommy. Yeah. No, that's too weird. Okay, I won't.
Anyway, we should move on. We're running late.
We got another episode to recap.
So now that she's accessed the program, she's very much alerted the Cardinal Program to where she is. It's running a check, and it's going to delete her. And they don't want this to happen. And
she
wants to
be happy without you.
And she wants to stay with them, too. She wants to stay with them because they were the two people that gave her hope, so much so that she wanted to meet them, to the point where she left where she was to try to find them. Mm-hmm. And that lucked out for her, so that's good. But now she's being deleted as a result. And she disappears.
Kirito is all like, what is this? I know how to do this. And just pressing buttons
fast. He was a beta tester. I didn't know he was a hacker, too.
That makes sense.
I'm not surprised But given that he was a beta tester for an MMO of this technological level, and I would imagine there weren't very many of those, given the setup that we saw in the first episode of his room, given the research he was doing on Kayaba Akihiko. Thank you. That name, I can never do it. I'm not surprised that he knows how to do this. I'm not surprised he's a hacker of some sort. I'm not surprised he knows his way around a computer.
Yeah, it's true, but it seems very convenient. But luckily,
he's a shonen protagonist.
Yes,
but then all of a sudden,
luckily he gets knocked back. But luckily, he was able to save Yui's data to a little item, very much in the same way that Pina's heart became an item. So what we have now is this little teardropped jewel.
One of the earlier episodes, there was a dragon.
I thought she said something else.
I know.
I know. That's an inconveniently
his
named
name
dragon.
Was Pina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you said Pina's heart.
And there it is.
Sorry.
Thank you, Brenda.
That's a different game.
Yeah.
There have been a couple times where we're like, did we just switch over to a dating sim? What just happened?
Wrong
but,
anime.
But we have Yui's heart as this little crystal now. And so Kirito's plan is that when they get out of the game, he saved her data to his nerve gear, and he wants to try to restore her settings when they get out.
Right.
In the meantime, time to go get that flower from the dungeon.
Right? That would have been my first stop.
If I know, only. Right?
That would be really nice if that was happening.
There's a flower that brings back
it brings back
objects.
Pets. It doesn't bring back people.
Child's it revives pet, our whatever.
Heart. It can revive another
hey,
heart.
Hey, pets are better than people.
Well, they wouldn't have wanted to do that anyway because she got introduced back into the system. There's no telling that if it would have recognized her right away and
just
deleted her again.
Would probably just tried to delete her again on the spot.
And then they'd be truly hosed.
Yeah, but anyway, before we go into the next episode real quick, after we end on that horrible tearjerker an ending that made me very, very sad, we're going to go ahead and shift gears entirely and talk to you really quick about Maria Menounos' new book, The Evergirl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. It's available online. It's available in bookstores. It's available online, anywhere you can purchase books. Guys, it's a really great book. It's got a ton of awesome recipes. It's got tons of how-tos, workout stuff.
Picture
it's great.
Tutorials.
If you want to max out your cooking skill, this is the book to do it.
But it might not tell you how to cook frog legs.
I don't know if there's a recipe for frog legs.
Sure. Does it have more pictures of her abs in those tutorials?
Yes.
That alone, that cover, is already inspiration.
I was going to say, I feel like...
I mean, there's a reason I chose to sit behind a desk versus on the couch.
Thanks. That's why I'm very happy this is a high desk.
I'm very happy I wore this flowy dress.
But
I'm very confident. I just sit in this seat every week.
We also wanted to talk to you guys really quick about iTunes. Guys, if you like what we do, please go to iTunes, slap us with a 5-star rating. We love everybody who comments on YouTube. We read the comments, and we are just so excited that you guys like hearing us talk about this show.
You should leave comments on the iTunes thing, too.
Yes, you should.
Yes, leave comments on iTunes, leave comments on YouTube. We will read them, and if we think they're fun, we might give you a shout-out.
Senpai does notice you.
Nice. Okay, so let's go ahead. We got to wrap up real quick, and luckily we can skip through a lot of this next episode because the first half of it is pretty much filler.
Riveting.
We go to episode 13,
riveting. That's riveting.
We have the hell, the edge of Hell's Abyss. I was like dyslexic for a moment.
We have hell.
The edge of Hell's Abyss. So a couple days later, on November 5th, we have Kirito fishing, and he comes across this fisherman named Nishida, who actually was the head of the security company that was
supposed to be in charge of the security of Sword Art Online.
Nice job, sir.
But he's also stuck in there.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Exactly. But it was just kind of one of those, like, oh, you probably don't have a job if you get out of here.
Job opening.
You probably don't have an anything if you get out of here.
Yeah, right. Lawsuits. Anyway, so they strike up a friendship, and he joins Kirito and Asuna for dinner because Asuna has this great recipe for soy sauce, which is amazing. And that's when he tells them about this fun fishing contest, that it turns out the reason Kirito is unable to catch anything in the lake is because he has been fishing at the one lake that's really hard to fish at, which I don't know about
Why
you guys.
Would they program it like that?
I hate fishing levels in video games. I am not good at them. They suck. I hate them.
I was awesome at it in Animal Crossing.
Yes.
What's that? Do they still have that? What is it called? That tiny, tiny me, tinier me.
Do you know like big plant the Miis or on the Wii?
No, tiny it's, big planet.
No. Those are all actual legit games. this is like a social community, and you create like little like. I think it's like called Tinier Me or like, and then you have your little avatar, but then you fish, and it's really hard to catch fish. Yeah. But all you do is click on the fish, and it keeps going away.
I haven't played that, but I have no doubt that it's absolutely frustrating because every time there's a fishing level in a game, it is terribly frustrating.
Pretty easy, Pokemon.
That's true. Okay. That is the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, but you're also catching like freaking Magikarp. They're stupid.
Not always. I've caught a Gyarados before, and boy, was that a mistake.
That was whoops. Anyway, so Kirito agrees to help this guy catch this big monster fish that's supposed to be hidden in the lake.
Speaking of catching a Gyarados.
So the next morning they go, and a crowd has gathered. They're really excited because, you know, this is supposed to be kind of something legendary. It's like the big, it's kind of like going off to the Loch Ness Monster, I guess.
Right.
And so.
Lactose monster.
It's lactose intolerant.
It's gonna give you a stomachache.
It swims in milk.
Mild
instead.
Digestion.
Oh gosh. And if you've ever been to Loch Ness, it's actually really fun. They do fun, silly boat tours.
They do.
But anyway, so the old man, Nishida, he manages to hook the fish, and then he hands the pole to Kirito, and what ensues is basically shenanigans. and it was as fillery as it was actually genuinely refreshing to have some moments of levity in this series, especially after the tearjerker.
Well, and the other half of this episode is like, nope, no more levity.
Yeah.
Nope, we're done.
So we wrap up with that really quickly. So basically,
but the fish could walk. Can we just?
Oh,
Definitely walk.
Fish of some sort.
And
eggs.
Asuna has to be the one to go ahead and take it out. And everybody, as always, is always really impressed with Asuna because she's famous.
Right.
And just as Kirito is congratulating her, going, nice job, honey, he gets a message from Heathcliff. Vacation's over, guys. We need you back on the front lines because there was a squadron of about 10 soldiers who found the boss room on floor 75. And it turns out that the door closed behind them, the door opened back up again after a couple of minutes, and there's no sign of the boss, there's no sign of any of the soldiers, so we need you all back on the front lines.
Less than 5 minutes to wipe out the advance team, who you would imagine at this point are experienced, capable, and really not pushovers at all.
Right.
And the boss just... Nothing.
Yeah, so pretty much, and we have no intel to go on what this boss is actually like. So
I like how you guys were like expecting there to be something left behind anyway. They explode into pretty crystals.
That's true. Yeah. There's nothing left of anybody.
There's going to be a blood puddle or something.
Blood puddle and crystals.
Just one. No splatters or anything. Just one blood puddle.
Okay.
But anyway, so they get called back to the front lines, and they hear this, and Kirito thinks that maybe Asuna should stay behind on this mission because it sounds like a suicide mission. And that's when she says, no, I'm not going to do that. And we kind of get this... I know you commented on this last week, Liz, where you were kind of rolling your eyes where... The way they talk about it, it's very frustrating because it's like you were definitely teenagers and
just,
kind of Romeo and Juliet.
I'm
going to
protect you, right. And then like was this the episode?
This
with
is the
nightgown with her nightgown. There's like 17-year-old side boob. It's very inappropriate.
That was
the episode
earlier.
Before.
That was
previous. Oh, okay, well it was wrong.
But basically, she says that if she were to stay behind and he were to go and not come back, she would kill herself.
Thank you. Yes, this was the episode I was talking about. It drives me insane. It's just like I'm like all kids that are watching that are in high school where it's like, well, that sounds logical. No.
How long have these two known each other?
2 years.
2 years.
Okay, that's not as bad. Romeo and Juliet took place over the course of three friggin' days.
That's true, but they've only been married for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, they're married?
So they're married.
They're married.
Yeah.
They're married and they're also like...
It's pragmatic.
15,
and
16 plastic. Or 16,
they're
17.
So they're underage.
Yeah.
Side boob.
Side boob. So, like you were saying, Romeo and Juliet, these guys are not good role models when it comes to relationships. But, you know, it's very interesting to, you know, take that into account.
And I can see her saying that out of survivor's guilt, though, because she's second in command, she should be going, etc. If she stays behind as a favor to Kirito and then he bites it... Well, if she'd been there, she would have been able to help him. Right. And then when we hit the boss battle, that is 100% the case.
Yeah.
But it's Kirito losing his nerve and undermining his own confidence in Asuna when he knows she's completely
even though that's not his intention. His intention is that this is a suicide mission.
I know, but it still drives me crazy. It's, can you stay behind? I'm not sure that you can protect yourself.
Like, even though you just killed this. Why did she kill the fish?
Because it was going to
kill everyone else.
Oh, I missed that part. I thought it was just like he caught a fish and then she killed it.
No, it was a giant monster fish. With legs, and it was going to eat
running
people.
On land.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was, it was a very comical thing, but yeah.
Think of Cat Bus, but it looks like a Magikarp, and instead of the wheels, it was like actual feet.
That's correct.
The Cat Bus doesn't have wheels, it has actual feet.
Oh, didn't
have
anything.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen Totoro, but yes.
Cat Bus is not a Transformer.
And it has fuzzy balls. The Cat Bus.
Does
but,
it?
Yeah, it does.
That's Pompoko.
Yeah.
Really? I need to
watch
that again.
That was Pompoko.
No, the Cat Bus has fuzzy balls. You can, when.
Yes!
When it's going above on like, you know, there's a shot when it's like above.
Flying.
On the telephone line.
Yeah, that's when you can spot it. And if you have earlier versions of the plushies of the Cat Bus, it has fuzzy balls.
Yes!
Wow.
I don't have it, but now I'm sad.
But
I
the newer versions, they stopped making the fuzzy balls.
Oh, they got neutered.
They castrated.
The cat.
Stay and neuter your pets, everyone.
Yeah. Neuter your bus.
It's the responsible thing to do.
Prius is running around. The cat Prius.
Anyway, we need to go ahead and wrap up. We're running short on time. So they go into the boss room. Heathcliff is leading this charge, and we meet up with Agil and Klein again. And it's so great to see them both. And they're ready to charge in. And right before they do, Asuna leans in and tells Kirito that everything's going to be okay. They're going to protect each other.
I'm going to protect you.
And he's like, right back at you.
Yeah. And then
we open up the door and there's nothing there, and they all go inside, and then all of a sudden we hear the Skull Reaper, and it's this, and it's up on the ceiling,
it's
and then
terrifying.
When it comes down, it's like a xenomorph had a baby with an undead centipede, because that's what it looks like. It has like the xenomorphy head.
It reminds me of like, yeah, the xenomorphy head, but then it reminded me of like the centipede lady from Inuyasha, like the first episode.
Yeah.
With her bones. Except there's just, it always stays bones.
And to our dismay, not only is it scary to look at, it's a one-hit kill
and
monster.
And it's fast.
Yes. Yes. It has these, the biggest legs are essentially scythes.
Yeah.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. I always call them scythers because I forget the weapon's called scythe.
It's like the scyther from hell.
Yeah,
and
right.
The battle ensues, and people are being lost left and right. Although we really impressed by Heathcliff actually being able to defend himself with that giant shield, and they somehow formulate a strategy to try to flank it as it's just zooming back and forth across the arena. And the episode ends with Asuna and Kirito going on the offensive. And then we cut to the credits, and I'm like, damn it, show!
But yeah. Heathcliff is cheating, I'm sure, so he'll be fine.
I'm sure he'll be okay.
But I think it was cool how they were, like, crossing all three swords together, and it was, like, glowing, and then they were, like, defending both swords before they hit in, so that was, like,
right.
Cool.
It was a beautifully animated sequence.
Well,
so
and Kirito's
really cool.
Two swords were not enough to block a hit,
no,
and
that's
it was
what
when
Asuna
saying. Came in with the third,
yeah.
So, yeah, she did need to be there to protect him.
Mm. Yep.
So they all.
So
win.
That's how this episode ends. Before we wrap it up really quick, do you guys have more questions for our two lovely guests? Like it's really great having you guys here in the studio to talk about this episode and talk about your performances.
She said we were lovely.
Yes. You are
you
lovely.
Are.
It was awesome getting to talk to you guys. So I am guessing that you guys weren't really fans going into Sword Art Online. So
of Sword Art Online
mm-hmm.
specifically,
mm-hmm.
it hadn't come out yet. I don't.
I wasn't familiar with the show. No,
yeah. I mean I've always heard great things about it. It's on my list, but it's behind like Breaking Bad and Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still trying to get through. There's like seven seasons of every show.
There really are, and you have to binge watch them all because
yeah.
like you can't just start something and then stop. That's insane.
that's in moderation. Things in moderation. What?
This is the last episode. Oh shoot, it's a cliffhanger. I gotta watch another one. Okay, this is the last. Oh shoot, it's a. And then 4 a.m. hits and you're like, well.
And you're like, where did my
not
life go?
Tonight.
Yep. I had heard about the premise of the show and I was like, oh, that's an awesome premise.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I wasn't familiar with the
show. So that's really cool then that you kind of get to go. come in and kind of make these characters your own, even though, as we discussed earlier, there's kind of already a template there. But you really get to go, and you get to be a part of something that people are really passionate about. So that's really cool, too.
Yeah, definitely. I'd feel a little weird, though, not knowing as much about it.
That's okay.
I hear it's really great, so I know I need to watch it.
Yeah. Okay. That's, honestly,
guilt,
it's okay.
Guilt.
No. Breaking Bad first. Yeah. Then everything else after that.
Basically.
I think season two or something.
You got a ways to go.
I know. Somebody got dissolved in a bathtub, and I'm like, I can't marathon this. I need a break.
It's true, though. But, yeah. I guess that wraps it up, then, unless you guys have any other questions.
Well, I was going to ask, what... You guys are both individual voice actors and stuff. We want to know, is there anything that you would like to pitch about anything you're working on now or in the future that you would like to pitch out to our fans that are listening today? If you
anything
can't,
you want to plug, you anything you want to promote, yeah. Anything.
I'll pitch a few things.
Okay.
Mainly, I work on a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of the stuff that I work on doesn't need pitching, but the one thing that I think does need pitching is that I worked on a film called Wrinkles, and it is a dub of a Spanish movie, and it's got the voices of Martin Sheen, George Coe, who is the butler in Archer, if you don't know that. Matthew Modine and a bunch of people, and this is the part where the pitch gets really difficult because the film is about a guy who has Alzheimer's and gets checked in an old folks' home, and it's kind of,
and he has wrinkles.
I get it. I get it.
Good job.
And it's basically about like the friendships that he makes in there, and also his deterioration. And so it's very moving, and it's sad, but it's also really funny and uplifting. And it's just because it's a hard sell. Because what are you going to do? I'm like, and this is what I'm doing right now to say, like, hey guys, you got to see this great movie about Alzheimer's. You'll get really depressed, and you'll feel like crap, but it's really heartwarming at the same time. Go see it.
Yeah. Also, if your life is just sucking right now, look at this and it could be worse.
And this could be your future. You know, this is what you have to look forward to. Anyway, but seriously, it's a great film, and I think it's really important because I don't think that, you know, like in our society, we're so youth obsessed, you know, and it's good to remember that community.
That you might
not
be able to remember.
But it's available for digital download on Amazon, on iTunes, and if you search for it, I can't remember, there's one more place that you can download it, and that one, like, I think it's like some of a percentage of the proceeds actually goes to Alzheimer's Research Foundation.
Great. Wow.
So. It looks really, I saw some trailers. It's really funny. I mean, it's funny and hard because it's real. It's very,
it's actually really funny.
It's got heartwarming parts that cause giggles.
Yes.
Amongst the
sad. Yes. It's really funny.
Great.
So.
I mean, they steal a car.
Yes.
Those crazy old people. Yeah.
See, that's what you should tell people in the pitch.
Yeah. So, Grand Theft Auto with
yes,
old
exactly.
people.
Yes, exactly. That's
what it is. Or Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious.
Amanda, how about you?
I mean, we've both got our Sailor Moon thing going on, so that's exciting.
That is very exciting.
That comes out in a little while, so that's not.
But it's the redub of the Viz.
Yes, of all 200 episodes, all 5 seasons.
Great.
So
yes.
We're
that's
excited
super
about
exciting.
That.
Yes.
Let's see. I've also got. I do audiobooks, and so nice. If you guys are ever, I do like a series called Steampunk Oz, and it's the Wizard of Oz, told in like a futuristic steampunk. Thing. Dorothy's a badass. Like, it's really cool. Then there's that. And if you like Egyptian historical fiction, mythology stuff, I've got some of those. And then I just finished one that's called Contingency. And it's like this time traveler. She like warps through time back into the past to fight vampires. And it's just really fun.
Awesome. So that sounds fantastic.
It's like wonderful Mad Libs.
Yeah, it's awesome. But they're all really good. And so check them out on Audible. Just look for Amanda C. Miller. Hashtag awesomeness.
Awesome. That's great. Well, where can the people find you guys if they want to find out more?
I'm on Twitter, and I have a Facebook, like a fan page, and...
What's your Twitter handle?
What's your Twitter name?
It's Stephanie Shea.
Yay!
Oh, sorry.
you hear music?
Yes. That's our wrap-up music.
We should have said no. We should have all said no.
There's no music.
What?
Yeah, on Twitter, Amanda_Celine, or I'm on Tumblr. Look for AmandaMillerVO.tumblr.com or Facebook actor page.
Awesome. Tari Miller, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's TauriJay. You can also catch me on the Legend of Korra panel at 6.
Coming up next.
Yeah. And on the Extant panel on Wednesdays.
Yeah. And Dominion on Thursdays.
And Dominion on Thursdays.
Yeah.
It's going to let you have it.
No. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Maui. That's LizzyMawy. You can also find me on the Dominion panel with Tari here. You can also find me on the Legend of Korra, which we're actually going to be shooting next, and God, what else am I on? Musketeers on, that's Sunday. Later after that.
Yeah.
Katie.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on the Attack on Titan and Legend of Korra panels, both on Sunday and the upcoming Ruby panel. We're doing a special episode tomorrow night.
And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. And thank you so much. We will see you guys. We actually won't be on next week. We are taking a week off for Comic-Con, and we will be back after that.
I hate all of you.
I'm not
executive
going.
Producers Maria Manu. Nunes, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.